Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards. Welcome, everyone. I'm Maria Finch. I'm an inner intelligence coach, and this is the Silence the Mind Cluck podcast. Today, I am thrilled to have Jen Goodfriend with me. Jen, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, yeah, so happy to have you. So to start with, tell us a bit about you.
Yeah, so I live in beautiful Alberta, Canada, and I'm a mindset and business strategist, and I work with newer or newish female entrepreneurs to help them start and grow and scale their businesses to those 10K plus months while working 20 hours a week or less, because to me, it's all about time and financial freedom. We didn't start our businesses to work more than we did in our jobs and to make less, so it's giving that balance so that we can have that dream life and business that we always dreamed of.
That is something that I think many, many women aspire to. That's wonderful. So tell us about a time in your life when your mind cluck was especially loud. What were the circumstances?
Yeah, so I actually started my first business back in about my mid-20s. I had a degree in business and finance, actually, and I was really good at what I did. I was really good at numbers, and this opportunity to start my own consulting business happened. And my whole life, I knew I was meant to be an entrepreneur. Like, I was that little kid with little side businesses my whole childhood. So when this opportunity came up, I jumped on it, and I got success fairly quickly. I had some great referral partners. I dove in. I was really good at hard work. So I just went all in on it. And then I got to a certain income level, which was about a match to what I was making in corporate. And all of a sudden, this negative voice started popping up. Like, who are you to be making more money? Who do you think you are? Because at the time I was consulting with multi-million dollar companies. And it was like, who are you to be doing this? Like, you're not a multi-million dollar company. Like, you're only in your mid-20s. Like, who are you to be doing this? Yet I was really good at what I did. But those negative mind cluck things just kept popping up. It's like, who are you? That imposter syndrome, the what makes you qualified? Like, you're not worthy of this kind of success and wealth. And so I kept sabotaging myself. I kept doing things to keep myself at the level I thought I was worthy of. So no matter how hard I worked, I just couldn't break that glass ceiling. And so my mind cluck kept telling me, like, well, you just got to work harder. Remember, you know what? Success, it comes from hard work, because that's what I'd been told my whole life. I was born and raised on a farm. My dad had a second business. So he was gone all the time working so that we could live a good life. And so it was just one thing after another. Like, you're not working hard enough, work harder. So then I worked harder and it still wasn't working. Well, you're not doing enough. You're not doing this, blah, blah, blah. And to the point where after about 3-4 years of that, I hit full on burnout, like full on health crisis. My body was shutting down. I literally couldn't function anymore. And my body was like, yeah, you got to stop this. So I literally had to step away from my business and put all my focus onto my health, because all that stuff just literally sabotaged everything I'd wanted.
Wow. And, you know, I think there are so many people who can relate to what you're talking about, because I think so many of us were socialized that things only come to you through very hard work, and not that things can come to you with ease when you're working in your best flow. You know, so approaching that a different way and reprogramming that belief is a tricky one, because it's something that I think also our society promotes.
Exactly. If you're not doing that hard work to make the money, you're considered lazy. And now I actually say that I am lazy. I'm a lazy entrepreneur, and I wear it almost like a badge of honor, because I want others to know that it's okay to be what, you know, society considers lazy, like being able to make a ton of money, but only working 10 to 20 hours a week, being able to do what we love so it doesn't feel like work. To me, we need to stop stigmatizing lazy and talk about how it's a lifestyle. Like, if we can make a ton of money and only work 10 to 20 hours a week, why are we not allowing people to do that? Why are we making them feel bad about that when it's more, I think, of a jealousy thing and a programs thing? So we need to reprogram people to say, hey, there's absolutely nothing wrong with working less hours and making more money. We need to bring everyone along with us and make that more of the norm and ditch this whole hustle culture, work yeah. harder, work yourself into the ground, and then not be able to enjoy life.
Right. Because at the end of the day, like, what's the point? You know, you can work yourself and work yourself and work yourself. And if you just end up in a health crisis or you're miserable, what's the point?
Exactly. Like, everyone's like, oh, well, I'll slow down when I retire. But I see this so often that even in a business, people will work hard and they put in long hours in their business and they're making good money. And then they finally retire or slow down or do something. And then something happens. They have a health crisis. Yeah. They're getting older. They can't move around as much. So they can't enjoy the things that they wanted to do when they're younger because mm-hmm. they don't have that mobility. They don't have that ability to do those things. So in my mind, we need to be able to do those things in the moment when we're young and can do those things that we truly desire, not just wait till, you know, we're 50 or 60 or 70 and told that, okay, it's acceptable to do those things now.
Yeah, that is such a good point. So at this time that you hit this level of burnout, what did you do? So how did you recognize it? And then what was sort of your process to bring yourself back?
Yeah, so my body was giving me tons of hints before I finally got it. I like to say that the universe has to literally knock me upside of the head to mm-hmm. get me listen. And that's literally what happened. So along with the burnout, because of course it was affecting my whole body, one of the big things was I was getting a lot of body pain. So I'd been seeing doctors. They couldn't figure out what was causing it. So my doctor had sent me for some x-rays. So I'm standing in the x-ray room and they have me standing against a wall. And one of my biggest symptoms back then was just getting very lightheaded, getting nauseous, feeling like I was going to pass out. So I'm standing against the wall to do these x-rays, and all of a sudden one of these dizzy spells hit. And of course, I was a people pleaser at the time. So instead of saying, hey, can you wait a moment? I'm like, oh no, don't disturb them. They're almost done. You know what? They're busy. Like, you know, it's okay. You can push through. So I'm like, I'll just close my eyes for a second. It'll get all better. But the thing was, when I closed my eyes, I actually passed out and nobody was around me. So I fell and hit my head on the concrete floor, gave myself a concussion.
Oh no.
And it was kind of like, I was driving home from that. And I was thinking to myself, what have I done? Like, this is horrible. Like, I'm passing out in the hospital. I'm even at the hospital because I don't know what's going on with me. And there's something happening. And of course, my intuition, my body have been trying to tell me for years, like, hey, something's wrong. What are you doing? And my whole life, I'd learned to shut down that inner voice because it was not in alignment with what others wanted or how I was trying to please others. So I literally had learned to shut it out. And I had been doing it at that point. And on this drive home, it kind of spoke up and went, well, I had to get your attention somehow. It was pretty much what I heard. And I was like, oh, so I took like the next week or two, I literally was in this like self-reflection zone as I'm healing, going, what's going on in my life that this, I allowed this to happen. And I started reflecting on all aspects of my life and realizing that as much as I was living what everyone around me was calling, you know, the picture perfect life, the husband, the marriage, the business, you know, decent money, even though it wasn't what I wanted, I was still making good money. And I was absolutely miserable, like so unhappy with my life. My health sucked. And it was kind of my wake up call to go, what's going on here? Like, you know, this is supposed to, all this stuff's supposed to make you happy. You're not happy. Why are you not happy? And I just realized that it wasn't my life. I had spent that first 30 years, because at this point, I'm almost 30. It was literally just for my 30th birthday this happened. And I was like, I've spent my whole life making everyone else happy, which isn't what makes me happy, because I don't even know what makes me happy because I don't explore that. I just focus on everyone else. And so it was that wake up call to go, okay, you need to figure out what makes you happy. You need to start doing what you want to do. Otherwise, what's the point of living?
Yeah, what an important wake up call to have. And the truth is, like, you're lucky that you had that when you were 29. You know, some people don't get that wake up call until they're 70. So what did you do? How did you begin to dive into reflecting on where you were and why and what you actually wanted in life? What was your process?
Yeah, so at first I was really confused because I didn't know about personal development. I didn't know about any of that kind of stuff. And I kind of was like, I don't know what to do at first. So I actually just kind of decided to head to the bookstore because I've always been a huge reader. I've been my whole life, I love to read. So I got thinking, you know what? I know there's this whole personal development section at the bookstore because this was almost over 10 years ago now, probably almost 15 years ago before, you know, Amazon and all that was still pretty popular. So I just literally headed to the bookstore, headed to the personal development section, and just started walking around and grabbed a few different books and I'm like, okay, these are kind of interesting. And then there's one that my mind is like, you have to grab this one. Like this one is going to do it all. Like this one's going to help. You need this one. So I grabbed a few different ones and I started with some of the other ones and it really started opening up my eyes to kind of what was going on with me. Like the people pleasing, because I didn't know what that was. I didn't know I was a people pleaser. I didn't know about all this stuff. And then the one that my mind was like, you need this book. I started reading it and it was just like everything flooded out. Like, this is exactly why you are the where you are right now. This is why everything happened to you. And even like the business stuff as to why I couldn't make the money in my business. Like, because I didn't know I had a glass ceiling. I didn't know this was a thing. I just thought I wasn't working hard enough. And all of a sudden it was like my mind is going, oh my God, this all makes total sense. And so that book was The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. And that was the first book that introduced me to this whole concept of mindset. Because before that, I didn't even know about this mindset piece. I grew up in a very old-fashioned farm family where everything was black and white. You work hard, you make money. You know, it's very straight and narrow type of thing. So the fact that my energy could attract into my life what I wanted. So I got looking at my horrible marriage which at this point I had already left, realizing that it wasn't what I wanted. And I'm like, I attracted that horrible marriage. I attracted only being able to reach a certain amount of money in my business. I attracted all these crappy friends in my life, like all these circumstances around me that I thought, you know what, I just had really crappy luck to attract. I realized that it was all my fault, which at first, I was angry because, of course, we want to deny it. And no, I wouldn't do that to myself. But then, as soon as I accepted it, it's like, wow, if I'm strong enough to bring those crappy things into my life, imagine if I were to shift things, what amazing things I could bring into my life. So it almost became like a game of, okay, I attracted all of that. Let's see what else. Let's see what amazing things I can bring into my life. And so that started me on my journey of finding coaches, finding healers, and eventually even finding hypnotherapy, which is what truly transformed things for me because I had so many limiting beliefs that I didn't even know about. The biggest one being, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough for anything good in my life. And I've literally been telling myself that. I found out since I was a baby, literally days old, is when I created that limiting belief that said, you're not good enough. You're not worthy of good things in your life. So I had carried these beliefs my whole life and had been holding myself back because of all these limiting beliefs. And as long as I had all these beliefs, they were going to drive where I was going in my life. And it was driving me to places I didn't want because it made me feel not worthy, not enough, because that's what my mind thought I wanted. And by uncovering hypnotherapy, I literally unraveled all these crazy belief systems. And as I unraveled them and uncovered them, I was able to quickly and easily remove them because that's the power of hypnosis. And it was like life magically started unfolding. Like as I'm removing these beliefs, the world opened up to me, opportunities opened up to me, joy opened up to me, my new business opened up to me. Everything just like fell into my lap because all of a sudden I was now in alignment with these more amazing things and the life that I truly desired.
Wow. That is really quite, that is quite a history there. So tell us a bit about hypnotherapy and what, you know, how did you begin? And yeah, I'm just interested to hear your experience with hypnotherapy.
Yeah, so from reading the book, I knew I had a lot of these limiting beliefs, a lot of these negative programs that were holding me back. But no matter what I was doing with conscious work, I was working with any energy healers, I was doing conscious work, I even was doing counseling and therapy and all those things. And no matter what I did, we couldn't seem to understand where all the surface level stuff was coming from. Like we knew there was something going on, but no matter how hard I worked, like I worked for a few years at this trying to unravel, but I kept falling back in those same patterns. I felt like consciously I was making shifts, but then all of a sudden I'd fall back into a pattern again, or I'd make the same mistake. And I was getting so frustrated because I'm like, why? Like, I know I want different, but why am I doing this? And then I was in a Facebook group or something online, and someone was running, it was like a giveaway kind of thing. And it's like, okay, everybody to help grow your business, offer something for free in exchange for a testimonial. And so this one person popped up, and it was like the first thing I seen was hypnotherapy session. I'll exchange a hypnotherapy session in exchange for a testimonial. Okay. And just something in my mind goes, you need that. So right away, I messaged the person. I was the first person. I'm like, hey, I want to try this. They're like, great. So we scheduled a session, and I get into it, and all of a sudden, it was like, boom. Because in hypnotherapy, what they do is we help take you back to prior memories. So contrary to what a lot of people say, you're actually fully wide awake during a hypnosis session. You're just in what we call a suggestibility state. You're just really calm, really relaxed. And what they do is they guide you through asking your mind, literally going into the subconscious saying, okay, Jen isn't allowing herself to have success. Why is she not allowing herself this success? What is her mind telling her? Or what is that story or belief that she has? And they take you through different scenes and past parts of your life. So the first scene that came up for me as to why I wouldn't allow good things was literally I was only 2 days of age. And I was laying in the crib, and my mom had a friend over, and they were talking. And her friend was asking her about the birth and the baby and everything. And all I could hear my mom say was, it was a difficult pregnancy, a difficult delivery, and she's been a difficult baby so far. And it only
and 2 days, 2 days old.
Exactly. And so people say, oh, well, babies don't understand, but they do, but in a different way. So I took what was said, and because children up to about the age of 10 don't have rational thought, they don't have cause and effect thinking, they don't have those brain functions yet, I literally took what I heard and created a belief system that said, you're not good enough. If your mom's saying these things about you, out of context, of course, but that was my belief. And once we create a limiting belief, our mind's job is then to keep proving that. So there could be all the proof in the world that says, no, that's not true, but our mind latches on to the things that says it. So later on in life, I have a brother who's a year older than me who struggled with an undiagnosed mental health issue, which he still hasn't got diagnosed, but he has what we would call intermittent explosive disorder. So he would literally rage for no reason at all. It was like something would snap and he would go like crazy. And he used to beat the crap out of me on a regular basis. Like we would be playing a game and something would happen and he would rage and start yelling and screaming and beating on me. And my mom didn't know how to handle that. So she just let it be. So again, my mind goes, see, if you were worthy, your family would protect you from that.
Yeah.
And it's just like incident after incident. So all of these scenes and three different scenes came up that kept showing, see, you're not worthy. See, you're not good enough, or this wouldn't have happened. So my mind created this strong belief system of, no, you're not worthy of good things. So every time something good started happening, like success in my business, I would sabotage myself, which is what we do. And a lot of times we don't even know we're sabotaging ourselves. It's so sneaky. And it goes, okay, you're not allowed that. And so with hypnotherapy, by uncovering those stories, one, you take the power away because now you're looking at it with a rational thought that you didn't have when you created those beliefs, but also you're telling your mind, literally you're saying, hey, I don't want these beliefs anymore. I understand how they were there to protect me and they had a job, but they're no longer protecting me. And then we give you a whole new belief system, and using our own words. So then I was giving myself new belief systems, like, you are worthy of amazing things. You can be successful. And so when I come out of the hypnotic state, I actually was believing those things. I didn't believe the old stuff anymore. I believed that I was worthy and deserving of success and wealth and love and all those good things. And I started believing that. Not that everything was rainbows and joy and happiness after that, because it's like a tissue box. As we remove one, another layer comes up. Like, we don't normally just have one limiting belief. So it was a process of working through the different limiting beliefs that had compounded over the 30 years of my life. But after doing a lot of that deeper work for a few months, it was like this weight had been lifted off, and all of a sudden life got to be easy. Business got to be easy. Everything got to be easy and fun and joyful. And it was all because I just removed those limiting beliefs.
Okay, so that is amazing. And I have done something similar, not using a different process, but I can relate to everything that you're saying. But going backwards, so first thing is, in a hypnotherapy session, how does one get into a hypnotic state while still conscious? Like, explain what that means.
So think of it like meditation. So the only difference between meditation and hypnosis is hypnosis is just one brainwave deeper. So it's actually the same brainwave we're in when we're in REM sleep. So we go into a hypnotic state when we're in REM sleep. So it's just different brainwaves.
How does it happen when you're sitting with someone? Like, what is the process to go into a hypnotic state so that our audience can understand what that means?
Sure. So say I'm sitting here in a chair like I am now, I would just get my clients to do some nice deep breathing. And we use actually a REM, like when you're in REM, you have that eye flutter. You've probably noticed it in other people. So what we do is we get people to look up, and that creates like an eye fluttering. So as they're looking up and doing some nice deep breaths, on one of the exhales, they just close their eyelids down, and then we walk them through a process of seeing themselves walk down stairwells, and then we talk them into it. And that literally, we just talk them down into a nice, deep, relaxed state to where they're just chill and into that different brainwave state like they would be in REM. So it's really just talking them through process.
And so for somebody who's listening and who's thinking like, no way, I couldn't do that. Can you do that with anybody? Like, are there people who are resistant to it, or what? How long does it take?
So I think there's only been one person in my entire life who I've never been able to hypnotize. Mm-hmm. So most people, as long as you're open to it, like if you're really resistant and really don't want to do it, and someone forces you to, you might not be as open to it. But if you're open-minded and like, okay, I'm willing to give this a try. Mm-hmm. It really does work. So one of the easiest ways to tell if it's going to work for you is literally to roll your eyes up. So I get people to practice and just like get someone to look at them. And I just tell them, roll your eyes up into the top of your head as high as you can. And mm-hmm. if their eyelids are fluttering, that means they're hypnotizable. And they're easily hypnotizable. So yeah, if you get that eye flutter, that means that you're going to be quite easy to hypnotize.
Okay. And then for your belief that you discovered when you were 2 days old, how did you get there? Did that come to you, or was that suggested to you by your hypnotherapist?
So it just comes to you. So all we do is we just tell you, like, you're going back in time. So it's like, okay, this is your struggle. So like, why do you not believe in yourself? When did you first create the belief that you can't believe in yourself? You can't love yourself, whatever it is we're working through. And we tell your body, we're going back to the exact moment, the first time you created this belief that you're not worthy, you're not good enough. And we tell them, like, you're getting younger, smaller, like you're going back. And then we just say a scene is easily opening up in front of your eyes. It's as if you're watching this on a television screen and this memory is unfolding right in front of you. Mm-hmm. And then I just start asking them questions to help bring that scene more into focus. Like, okay, are you with somebody? Are you hearing anything? You know what? Are you inside? Are you outside? And I'm helping them, you know, bring that screen. And it's like, people say it's like watching a video. Most people mm-hmm. see it like a video in front of them, like they're watching a memory of themselves. So they're watching it from above, like they would on a TV screen. They're not actually in it. And they're watching this unfold, and they can like stop it, pause it. They can see what's going on. They can remember how they felt in that moment, and they can get right into it. And then they can see and feel what other people are seeing and feeling. And then some people, because not always does a scene come up, like most of the time it does, but sometimes they'll just get a feeling or mm-hmm. a sense, or they'll get a feeling in their body, and we can work through those as well and help them pull things out. I've even had people go back to being in the womb. Actually, that's happened mm-hmm. a few times mm-hmm. where they've gone back to the womb and heard something from their mother said, or something that happened. So it's really, really, really cool where people, what comes up for them and the aha moments they get. And it's like, I didn't even know that had happened to me. Like, I had blocked that out.
Yeah, I really understand, and I have experienced this myself. So another question for you. Do you begin by saying, what is my limiting belief? So do you say like my limiting belief is I'm not worthy, or I don't believe in myself, or I don't think I can make more money? Do you begin there, or do you get to that? Do you discover that limiting belief in the process of hypnosis?
Actually, both. So some people come to me and they go like, I know I've got imposter syndrome. I know I've got imposter syndrome. Like, I just don't feel like I'm as good as everyone else. So we can work off of that and go, okay, why do you have imposter syndrome? Or some people just come to me and go, I don't know why, but I keep sabotaging myself. I don't know what I'm doing. So they kind of tell me, okay, this is the thing I do the most, like procrastinate, or I don't get started on my business, or whatever that behavior is that they're doing, or whatever that negative thought is that they have. And we just start with that and go, okay, why is the person, procrastinating on work? And then what happens is then that brings up sometimes a belief. And then what we can do is we don't have to stick with the same wording, the same belief throughout the whole hypnosis. We want to focus on one specific program, because if you jump around, the mind can only work on one program at a time. But if I say, why are you procrastinating? And then in the first scene, it comes up, oh, that I'm not worthy. We can then take that and work with that and go, okay, when did you first create the belief that you're not worthy of good things? And then we can dig deeper into that, because that's then the belief system that's creating that procrastination.
Yes. Okay. So when I have done work like this, it's once you arrive at the scene, you see when you created the belief. Part of the process of changing the belief is recognizing what's different between then and now. Is that something that you do in hypnotherapy?
It's a little bit, it's more a matter of you're no longer that person. So we help your mind see, okay, I'm no longer that 10-year-old little girl. I'm no longer under the control of that person. I am my own person. I am strong. I am confident. So it's literally them saying, we use a phrase of, that's not me because. And then the person finishes that and says, that's no longer me, that person, that little girl, whatever age it was, or what whoever they seen in that scene, that's not me because. And then they use their own words to say, I'll never let someone treat me like that. I'll never allow that to happen to me. And then they use their own words to say, hey, I don't want to be that person. I never want to be that person. I'm not going to allow myself to be that person.
And do they state then a positive belief to counter the counterbalance of the limiting belief? Like, do you come up with, so if your first belief was, I'm not worthy, is your new belief, I am worthy? Or how do you construct that new belief?
Yeah, so before we get into hypnosis, I get the client to tell me exactly what they would want their life or feelings or whatever to look like. So if they come to me not feeling good enough or worthy enough, then I have them give me up to about 10 phrases of what they would want. So I'm like, okay, if you did feel worthy, how would that look in your life and business? And they'd be like, oh, I easily, accomplish everything I need to in a day. I easily hit six figures in my business. I wake up every morning calm and cool and collected and ready to take on the day. So they give me all these things in their own words, and I literally write it down in their words. And then at the very end of the hypnosis session, once we've uncovered all their scenes, they've gone in and said that why this isn't me, we've healed it. We've then gone in and told their mind, we don't need these beliefs anymore. They don't want these beliefs. And then we give them what we call the reprogramming. So that's where we then take what they said they wanted. And I literally create a new reprogramming, which I actually save for them and they continue to listen to after the hypnosis session. So it says, like, hey, such and such, you are an amazing, accomplished woman. You easily accomplish anything you desire in this life. You always know exactly what you need to do, who you need to work with. And I literally, it's like about a 10-minute long thing. And then they continue to listen to that because, again, our mind likes reiteration. So over the next 21 to 30 days, they continue listening to that and continue programming that into their mind every day to keep reminding their mind, remember, this is the new program. This is who we are now. This is what we believe. This is what we want. And so they come out of it feeling those new feelings, feeling all those great things like, yes, I can do this. And then every day they continue to remind themselves and continue to feel better each and every day they listen.
And that's great. And in your experience, what's the timeline? from having a limiting belief to successfully reprogramming it to a belief that serves you well?
Immediately. That's the thing about hypnosis is what, by the time you're done the hypnosis session, that old belief is gone. Doesn't mean that it's, so as I said, like the tissue box. So some of multiple roots, I guess you could call it. So that belief of I'm not worthy could be tied to a belief of I'm not deserving of success. So we can remove that not worthy enough, but there's still maybe another belief that's kind of tied in there. So we may allow ourselves to have a little more success because we're now feeling worthy, but then we need to dig into that other root of, but I'm not allowed a ton of success because it's fearful and I don't know what that means. So you're going to heal and come out of that hypnosis session feeling I am worthy and deserving and enough. And as you listen to your audio each day, you're going to feel that even more. So most people feel the change right away. 90% of people, the other 10%, they'll feel a little bit of a change, but then over the 21 days as they listen, that's when the big change happens. So there's a small percentage that see more results as you go longer, whereas most feel that immediate change and then even better changes.
And how long do you typically work with someone as a hypnotherapist? Do you work with them, you know, over like months or weeks or just a couple times? Or, I mean, I'm sure it runs the gamut, but I'm just curious, what's average?
Yeah. So on average, I like to work with people for about 6 months because we can only really do a hypnosis session once per month because it's such deep work and your mind needs that time to integrate and become that new version of yourself. Mm-hmm. So over a 6 month period, especially when people are first starting the mindset work, there's a lot of limiting beliefs that are coming up because you wouldn't be coming to see me if life was easy and it was great and wonderful. Right. So there's, like I said, it's like a tissue box. There's a lot of layers going on. So most women that come to me, most female entrepreneurs have very similar limiting beliefs. Number one, I'm not worthy enough. Like I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. I'm not enough, period. 95% of women, or at least 95% of women, have that belief in one aspect or another. So that's usually like the one everyone has to deal with. And then there's usually things like imposter syndrome, not feeling like they're worthy of a certain amount of money, a glass ceiling effect. We all have that glass ceiling. So I find over a 6 month period, we can remove the most debilitating, biggest limiting beliefs that are getting in your way of success so that you can really step into who you want to be. But then I have clients. I have one client who's been working with me for like 4 or 5 years. Yeah. And it's not an everyday thing, but what she does is she'll be working along, everything will be good for 3-4 months, and then something will come up where she'll hit some resistance. And instead of fighting that resistance now, she literally just calls me and goes, hey, I've hit resistance, let's book a session. And we do what I call like a tune-up session. And I have these packages available because I know this happens. And we literally just jump on a call, do a session. We figure out what's causing that current block. She works through it. She jumps back into her business and keeps flying again for another 6, 8, 12 months until she needs me again. And then she calls me up. So it's a maintenance program. That's the thing a lot of people don't understand about mindset. It's not a one and done thing. Yeah. Even multimillionaires have limiting beliefs. They have glass ceilings. Yeah. At certain income levels, like as you're growing your business, you're going to get certain income levels and limiting beliefs are going to come up. But the difference between new entrepreneurs and multimillionaires is new entrepreneurs, they resist doing the work. Oh, it couldn't be that. There's, you know, it's just me. I just got to work harder because we've got those really stagnant limiting beliefs telling us these things, whereas multimillionaires have been doing the work for so long. It's like, oh, something is getting in my way. Some sort of belief system is there. They go, they do the work, they move through it, and then they just smash through it and keep going again.
Yeah, this is one of the things. So another, I mean, I call it mind cluck, but mind cluck is limiting beliefs. And I definitely believe in the layers of those. And one of the things that I tell people is that you can solve mind cluck in a moment. So you can do an exercise, you can do whatever you need to do to get through that presentation, get whatever done. But then that same kind of mind cluck can keep coming back around and coming back around. And that's when you know you've got to go deeper. And once you get to those limiting beliefs and you start to reprogram them, then you stop having that kind of mind cluck. Or if it comes up, you recognize it in the moment, you know exactly what to do to turn it off and you can do that. And so this is so fascinating. I am a big believer in the deep work and getting to the deep work, because ultimately that's what enables us to be free.
It does, because otherwise that mind clock never shuts up. Like it's always there and we're having to fight against it to make things happen. So like if every time you go into a sales call and you're having to fight that mind clock and say, no, I can do this. I can do this. Like it's good. It's fine. It gets exhausting. Whereas if you remove the underlying cause of the mind clock and then you can then go into the sales call going, I got this. I can do this. This is easy. You know what? It's great. You might have a moment of doubt of, oh, but can I? And then you go, well, yeah, of course I can. Right. And then it's gone. So it takes so much less energy to do the things that you want to do if you're not having to constantly fight that negative voice. I call it the itty bitty shitty committee, because it makes me laugh. And then it takes the power away, because when we can laugh at it, it takes the power. So when those negative voice comes in, I'm like, shut up, itty bitty shitty committee. Like, I don't need you. You're not helping me, go away. And then it just, it happens. And then if that same thing keeps coming up, then I know, oh, there must be something more I need to work on.
Right.
But sometimes it's just little voices that like to try and pop in and you're like, no, go away. I don't need you. And they're like, oh, well, I thought I'd try. I guess it's not worth it. And then they just disappear.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So we have gotten to the end of our time, and this has been such an interesting conversation. Thank you so much. And I wanted to ask, is there any last piece of advice or anything else you'd like to share with our audience?
Yeah. So just telling people that you are deserving and worthy of success. You can have all the wealth, all the success, all the things that you desire. It is all available to you. You just have to get out of your own way. You just have to deal with that mindset stuff. And once you do, literally the sky is the limit. So don't hold yourself back.
Oh, that's such good advice. Thank you so much, Jen. And I want everyone to know we will have links in the show notes for everything for Jen if you would like to get in touch with her. All right. So I'd like to say thank you so much to Jen and thank you to our audience.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate being here.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. All right, everybody, take care. Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of mind clocking up your days? Book a free initial consult with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a great week.